It's about to go down. It's another episode of the Carlos Inspire Show. In this electrifying episode and podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we sit down with Jeff Fenster, the visionaire, founder of Everbowl, a brand that's redefining the fast casual food industry with its unstoppable growth. From securing $5 million investment, just as the world went into lockdown, to operate a new franchise that they are opening one every 6 days, 350 plus locations as of February of 2024. And how they went from almost shutting everything down to build this incredible company. With no further ado, I want to bring it to the stage, the founder, serial entrepreneur, speaker, author, investor of Everbowl, Jeff Fenster. What's up, my brother?
What's up, Carlos? Thank you so much, man. It's a privilege and honor to be here.
Yes, sir, man. The pleasure is mine, my friend. You know, as you guys know, we always love bringing visionaries and people that are doing incredible things for humanity. And they are raising the bar in the industries, creating blue oceans around the space. And you, my brother, are doing incredible stuff. I love the jersey on the back, Kobe and Jay. You know, Kobe, you know, we were talking over here before the show started. He died on my birthday. On January 26th, I was about to speak in San Diego. And it was very hard to speak. And so shout out, my brother, Kobe. I know that you're in heaven. I know that you are going to be on the show in 2027, but time did not permit. But my brother, man, I'm looking forward for this show. You know, and I'm going to start it with a bang, Jeff.
Okay.
March of 2020, you know, right after you secure $5 million from investors, no pressure, the whole world changed overnight with the onset of COVID and everything that went down. Now you are faced with the daunting task of shutting everything down, layoffs, all the things that all of us went through. They run several businesses. We own multiple companies. I want us to walk us through, Jeff, how you navigated this unprecedented challenge and what strategies, let's go deep, you implemented to pivot and thrive during such an uncertain times, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there to unpack. But yeah, March 18th, 2020, we were not a franchise system. I had 28 corporate stores of my own. We hadn't just raised the capital, but from 2016 to March of 2020, we had raised $5 million. We had some investors. We were growing a corporately run QSR called Everbowl, Kraft Superfood, like you mentioned, all the fun things. And I was never thinking about franchising. But we use a concept, and I, you know, in my background of selling a few companies and serial entrepreneurship, I always try to use vertical integration to grow and scale. So internally, we have our own construction company that I started just to build Everbowls. I have my own import company. So we bring in our own superfoods and control our own supply chain. Not knowing the benefit of that for how it was going to impact COVID, we were doing that to kind of shore up our own infrastructure and grow. And March 18th, 2020, we had to temporarily shut down 28 restaurants, lay off over 500 people. It was one of the worst days in my professional career. I mean, I went home, you know, I do this thing called my 5-minute pity party where I set a timer for 5 minutes. I cry, I scream, I curse, I'm a victim, poor me. Why is this not fair? That day was a little longer than 5 minutes, I won't lie. I had to go probably an hour. But when the timer goes off, it's now, what are we going to do, right? You fall off a boat and you're in the water. You can sit there and dwell on it, or you start swimming and get out of the water. And so we had to immediately say, what can we do now to move forward? And we had no idea yet, but me and a few executives that I had laid off all came into the office on March 19th. And we said, what do we have at our disposal? And what can we do to start moving forward? And we looked internally and we realized we have a ton of superfoods because of our import company. So I had all this acai and all this pitaya, no open restaurants, but all this product. And we have customers that are at home that can't buy our product. And so one of my executives said, why don't we launch that concept we had talked about? And we named it Later Bowls, where we were going to package our product into boxes and sell 10 bowls that you could buy over the internet. And we spun up a Shopify website called laterbowls.com. You'd order it. We would deliver it with, you know, dry ice, and it'd come to your door, and you'd be able to make our bowls in the house. And that was like, okay, it's momentum, it's activity, it's strategic activity. So now instead of dwelling on why is this not fair, yada, 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 we started to do this. And so really quickly, our customers said, hey, we want this, we want this, we want this. So we're now generating revenue. We're focused on a positive, not dwelling on a negative. and our bowls start to disseminate throughout our 28 locations near our customers. And it was like, well, hey, this is working locally. What if we do this nationally? And so utilizing the relationship capital I had, I found a inn with QVC through a good friend of mine, and he introduced me to a buyer. I shipped them the product. They liked it. They gave us an airing, and we sold 70,000 bowls in 7 minutes and sold out on our first airing on QVC. And now we're selling our product nationally. And we had 17 future airings, all sellouts. And, you know, we generated close to $10 million in revenue selling direct to consumer through that platform. But something else fun happened. Customers around the country were eating our bowls and saying, well, there's no Everbowl near us. Can I franchise? Can I franchise? Can I franchise? And we reopened all of our stores May 1st of 2020. So locally, we were open again, San Diego, Orange County, and in Phoenix, but not nationally. And so we had over 500 franchise requests come in. And we said, you know what? Now's the time. We should now open our doors and start franchising, because we can't be everywhere. And the world's asking for this. They want it. Let's deliver. So that's when we launched franchising. And we launched franchising in July of 2020 and to where we are now. So then based on that, it allowed us to really grow and scale. We started selling a ton of franchises, transitioning from a operations company to a support company. And we ended up selling off our 28 corporate locations. We ended up buying some back later, but at the time, and dove all the way into franchising. And what's really cool is we build every Everbowl, so we can build them more cost effectively than any of our competitors in any GCs. We provide the food, so our food cost of goods and our food costs are lower, and we control that supply chain. So as we were navigating post-COVID, the supply chain hell, the construction hell, can't hire and find people to do things. We controlled those pieces for our system. So we were able to continue to open and scale. And so when the world was slowing down, we were accelerating, which created more buzz around our brand, attracted some very high profile individuals, which we ended up partnering with. You know, our biggest franchisee is Drew Brees. He has 160 locations now, and he's an investor in the brand. And things just started to propel, and the snowball started to grow as it kind of goes down the mountain. And one thing leads to another, and here we are today.
Wow, wow, wow. What an incredible story. You know, one thing that for everybody that's struggling right now, you guys know the drill. God will never put you through something if he doesn't think you can handle, baby. We all have those stories, man, with the when we invite the pity party parade, and nope, we're not going to go there. You know, like I always say, pain, you know, it's not optional. Suffering is. And it's about like shifting, because you know what I mean? That, you know, it's like, we got to go through the test before the testimonial, baby. Say it again. You got to go through the test before the testimonial. And I love talking about expansion and rapid expansion, right? I often say it's no longer the big that eats the small, it's the fastest that consumes the slow. And your ability, Jeff, to scale Everbowl, I mean, across the nation, you know, is astonishing pace. It's nothing short of remarkable. So what is the secret sauce behind opening almost 100 franchises in such a short, you know, span of time? Like, could you share some insights as far as like, let's go deep. I like to go deep into the strategies and the planning and execution and the management strategies that have fueled this rapid expansion. Could you share and elaborate some of those strategies?
Foundationally, it's our team. We attract world-class talent here at Everbowl at our corporate office and our corporate team. And because of that, you know, you look at the two jerseys behind my head, this is a testament to two guys that had a ton of raw potential and fulfilled it. And they fulfilled it by focusing on the things you can control, the daily habits, the daily practices of being in, you know, striving for remarkability and kaizening how you get there and learning from mistakes, not repeating them and making them choices and never being a victim and overcoming, working hard, outworking your competition. I'd love to tell you there's like a magic wand, but the truth is we have a culture here of high performers that are remarkable at what they do. We push each other to be the best, and that's has allowed us to overcome and do things that from the outside may look, to your point, how are you doing that? And it seems like it's unobtainable. It is obtainable. Just the difference is we're water here at Everbowl. We're never going to stop. You can't stop water. It will find the cracks. It will keep coming. It's relentless. We're relentless. We have that Mamba mentality, and we have that dedication and desire to be the best at what we do. And so that's the foundational principle. I mean, there's more to it, obviously, in how we do things and our SOPs and our execution, but at its core, you can't make somebody be something they're not. So culturally and organizationally, if you don't have the right players that believe in your mission and are going to do what's necessary and hold themselves accountable to want the best for themselves at what they're doing, it's very hard. It's very hard to compete with other companies that do. And so we really pride ourselves on having a culture. We understand our core values. There's five of them. We don't, you know, deviate from those. We hold those truths to be who we are. And it has allowed us this opportunity. And so from those, you know, that gets into the weeds now, which is, you know, making friends and having fun are our two main rules. And it's important because who you know can open so many doors. If I don't have a friend who can introduce me to a buyer at QVC, I don't get that opportunity. I don't generate all that franchise requests. We don't generate revenue at a time when we weren't generating revenue. And who knows what this business looks like? So that one introduction opened a door for us to generate tens of millions of dollars and opportunity. And I didn't know that at the time when I built that relationship. So the foundation of making friends with every single person you come in contact with and being and leading with value and seeing this world in the view of abundance instead of scarcity, and realizing that if you help everybody every which way you can, in turn, they're going to want to help you, and you have champions of you, you have champions of your brand, and things just happen. You know, my friends call it Fenster luck, but it's because of what I put my attention and intention on and to, and it creates those opportunities. And then second, the other part of luck is recognizing the opportunity when it's there and having the ability, the skills necessary, and the team necessary to execute when that happens. Because if we didn't have the team to execute when the QVC opportunity presented itself and then be able to fulfill, well, then I'm telling you about this almost cool opportunity that we stumbled and fumbled on, and it's not this story. And so there's a lot there about holding yourself that daily habit of accountability, being the best version of you. If you do that, just-in-time learning happens, just-in-time opportunities happen, and you really can do some remarkable, remarkable things. And that's the definition and differentiator between the 1% and everyone else.
Yes, I love that, Jeff. I love that big time. You see, Jeff, whenever I'm traveling around the world and speaking on stages, and I often refer to the founder of the companies, whatever company I'm speaking for, and I always say this, and that also applies to you big time, which is the speed of the leader is determined by the speed of the tech. Say it again, Brother Carlo. The speed of the leader is determined by the speed of the pack. And that's what you do, brother. You lead by example, and you bring, like you say, it's that energy that you bring, how you start the day. When you walk into the office, right? You're like, you guys watching us now, when you walk into your office, when people are talking about you, are you bringing the holiday spirit? Are they talking about you at the dinner table? Because guess what? I was talking about everybody at the dinner table. Is your brand doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Something that you got to think about, ladies and gentlemen. And it's so part also, one thing that you also mentioned, proximity. Being in proximity. Me, by being in proximity, I love helping people, right? Finding them stages, referring them to stages. Now people come to me all the time for help with that. So many great friends that I've met speaking on stages, like my good friend, shout out Alex Stern, founder of Constant Contact, sold the company $1 billion+. And again, refer me a ton of stages because why? You know, friends of ours like Greg in San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the reciprocal. You focus on adding value to others, and the business that adds the most value wins every time. And that's what you guys are doing, man. And you touched base on something earlier, innovative cost reduction tactics. I want to go there because I want you guys to think about it, right? Right now, you're struggling with your brand, and maybe you wanted to reduce some of the costs. And I want to go there because scaling a business often comes with, it's like cost problems, right? And people run into scenarios where now they don't have enough credit to get another credit line and all the other fun stuff. You got to take me to your mortgage, refinance. You've been there, right? But you took some unconventional steps to keep these in check, including starting your own construction company to handle the build out of new locations. Talk about next level thinking, right? So what drove you to this decision, and how has this move, my brother, impacted your overall business model and cost structure?
I mean, it was a game changer. You know, I opened my first Ever Bowl in October of 2016. You know, I was going to go build 100 of them and self-fund the whole thing. You know, I had a few exits, so I had my own capital, and it cost $300,000 to open an Ever Bowl. And I was thinking to myself, why should it cost that much money for a smoothie bowl shop? It's just a lot of money. And I looked into it and I said, okay, you hire a general contractor, they hire a bunch of subcontractors, they hire a bunch of manufacturers and buy materials. Everybody marks it up. Everyone has to make a bunch of money, and I got to pay the end result. And because it's a first time for this group, There's no economies of scale. There's no learnings. There's no automation. And they have to turn down other jobs to take my job. So there's an opportunity cost, which means they must make the profit. Okay, that all makes sense to me. But I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm a problem solver. The definition of an entrepreneur is a problem solver. My problem is I want to open 100 restaurants and they cost too much money and I'm going to spend $30 million to go open 100 restaurants. That doesn't seem like a good use of capital. So what I like to do is I like to write my problem down, and instead of just solving the problem the way most people think, which is raise a bunch of money, take on debt, and just pay the bill, what can I do to make that problem disappear? I don't want to solve the problem. I want it to go away. I want to have a different problem. And so we just started thinking about it and we're like, well, if we're going to go build 100 of the same thing, why don't I just build them myself? Like, why do I need somebody else to build them? I don't know anything about construction. So that's a new problem, but we can solve that. I can hire people. We can find talent. Like, I'm good at that. That's okay. If we do that and I bring the cost down, hey, now I'm getting something that's going to have scale. And so I invested, you know, low seven figures and built a construction fabrication company. Spent a ton of money up front. So that's the other challenge. It took about 11 or 12 stores before I started to really feel the savings. And it took about 20 stores till I started to recoup the majority of my capital. But fast forward, I can now sell an Everbowl and build it for a franchisee with equipment for about $110,000 from the $300 I spent and still make money doing it, which means everybody wins. My franchisees win. I was able to win. And so it changed the business, because if you're looking at Everbowl versus one of my competitors, it's just more cost effective to build mine. And I'm just going to let you know, like, cash on cash return, you're opening a business, right? So we're more attractive from that side, and it made it to allow us to scale. It also allowed me to control that. So as we want to open in different cities and states around the country, I don't have to find a general contractor and hope they're good and interview them. I don't have to hope for, can the materials that we use be sourced locally, or where are we going to get it, and have all of this extra stuff. And fast forward, guess what? Now WeBuild, which is the name of my construction company, I don't just build Everbowls. I build all of Shaquille O'Neal's Big Chickens. We build Capriati's and Wing Zone. We're building Stretch Zones. We're now building pickleball membership facilities. We're now building for, you know, Dirty Dough cookies and all these other brands that are coming to us that have the same problems as Everbowl. I can solve for them now. And I built a business solving my own problems and spinning it off now to solve for others. And so any retailer restaurant concept that's looking to scale or already has scale and is looking to renovate, we offer a turnkey solution that no one else does in the country in a manner which no one else can do it, because I run Everbowl. So I know the pain points of the operator. I understand it. I don't speak construction. I actually speak what they're looking for. And so this business has turned into a massive opportunity for us. And we're like holding the hell on as we're going, because it grew so big by solving that problem. And so I would encourage everyone who is having business challenges, if you have a problem, don't just immediately rush to solve the problem. Take a moment, step back and say, okay, what if we rethink the problem? Can we make it disappear by changing a different behavior? Right? And if you can, who knows what can happen from there, right? Because if you're an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. And so you will figure stuff out. You will hustle your way through. And now, you know, our WeBuild company, we have a facility in Georgia. We have a facility in the West Coast in San Diego. We're opening a facility in Vegas and Texas and Iowa. We're serving brands all across the country, from some of the biggest brands in the entire country and world to all these upstart, fast growth, very exciting concepts, similar size to Everbowl, all the way down to you have 3 to 5 units and you want to grow and scale. What we can offer you, no one else can. And we can do it in a way that's so disruptive and help you have the same competitive advantage that Everbowl had. And we get to make a bunch of money while we do that for my shareholders and increase the enterprise value of our organization, and everyone wins. And that's the key. When you can create win-win relationships where you help somebody and help yourself, those are the best kinds of relationships.
Wow, what an incredible story and way to leverage that, bro, big time. You know, where now, not just you're using for your own company, and look at all the doors that open, right? Partnerships with Shaquille and all the, you know, Shaq owns a bunch of franchises, you know, constantly, and all the other doors that would open, because now you walk in the talk. Like I often tell somebody, you know, if you are so great, show me, don't tell me, right? You got the receipts to prove it. And I love that. When you're thinking of construction, I want to give a shout out to my cousin, Jonathan, in the East Coast. One of my cousins, I love this brother. He actually has a construction company called Metal Lab, and he produces a few tons of metal per year through his company. The same way how you build a desk on IKEA, right? You got a desk and it's already pre-assembled. He prefab all the metal, it's pre-assembled. All you have to do is have the foundation in place. Then he creates all the metal, ships it on a semi-truck, and then brings it to the foundation. And then it reduced the cost. As you were telling me, I'm like, hold up. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he did. He reduced the cost of construction by tenfold. He reduced the cost of goods. He reduced the how fast it can be built. Because once you have the foundation in place, you just put in the metals, right, and it's done deal. And done that for malls and apartments and shopping centers and houses. And he does all over the East Coast. So my cousin, shout out. I bet you're going to like that shout. For real.
Yeah.
Because you made me think of him because, again, innovating, creating new things, creating blue oceans and helping people, like you say, reducing the costs and doing things that are different. I love that. And let's talk about, you know, rapid growth in times like this. Sometimes people, they get stuck. They're not seeing a rapid growth. And leading a fast-growing company, it requires unique skills and a dynamic approach to leadership. So how do you maintain, Jeff, like that company culture, values and the vision amidst such a rapid expansion? And additionally, this is a two-part question. Additionally, how do you stay ahead of the curve, right? Because I bet you people are watching, especially in the fast casual industry.
Yeah.
Ensuring that Everbowls remains competitive and innovative.
Sure. So there's two parts to that. So the culture and leadership side, I think not enough leaders understand and have clearly defined core values, and they don't understand why you need them. Core values are not what you should. You shouldn't have core values that you aspire to be. You should have your core values listed as what you are, what your company is, what you are, how you're going to handle when you're under duress and in a storm, and how you're going to handle when it's sunny outside and you're laying at the beach. And so for us, it's very clear. Like my five core values, I call them my success principles. It's make friends. Number one, I make friends with every single person I can. Have fun, because if I don't like what I'm doing and enjoying it, I'm not going to put 100% of me into it. And therefore, I'm not going to be the best. Number three, take immediate decisive action. Too often, we sit there and spend so much time with analysis paralysis that we don't get things done. You get 100% of the things done that you actually do. And even if it's not the right choice, through the course of doing, you're going to learn what not to do and pivot and adjust. So taking immediate decisive action is number three. Number four is Kaizen, the idea of getting 1% better every single day. You don't have to be great at what you do. You just need to understand that, can you set a goal for a little improvement today? And if you consistently do that, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you hit competency and then excellence, and you're just keep improving. And over time, I mean, I'm going to share a Kobe Bryant story because you like Kobe. It's one of the most fascinating stories. It was when he was 10 years old. And everyone knows Kobe as this incredible scorer. And, you know, he was playing in a basketball league and he was playing with older kids, and he didn't score a single point for an entire summer. He missed every shot he took and never really got many shots. And he did not shoot or score a single point. That doesn't mean that he couldn't find ways to improve. So he worked on his defense. He worked on his footwork. He worked on his court vision and his passing while he was also working on his shooting. And so you say, well, yeah, but he didn't score all summer. Big deal. He got better at defense all summer. He got better at passing all summer. He got better at learning and watching those around him. And now look at him today. So the idea of Kaizen doesn't mean you have to be great today. It just means you have to continuously improve. The next one is be remarkable, because so often people are focusing on excellence or perfect, and they're trying to be perfect at what you do. You're never going to be perfect. But remarkable is, did you put 100% of your best effort into whatever you're doing right now? And if the answer is yes, then, hey, you're remarkable. You did the best you physically could. And every day you're going to Kaizen. So that's going to get a little bit better. And you're going to keep giving 100%, 100%, 100%. That's a hard person to beat. It's really hard to beat someone who never gives up and outworks you and just is there. Even if you're better than them today, you can't take a vacation or day off, because they're going to gain on you and catch you and pass you. And so it's very unnerving for competitors to have somebody who's truly giving 100% every single moment. And then the last one is change ready. You can't get complacent. The world changes. I had 28 corporate stores. We were never franchising. COVID happened. We pivoted. So we were change ready as an organization. We're not afraid to reinvent ourselves. We're not afraid to try new things. And how do you do that when you're not sure what to do? You start back over and you make friends and have fun. You take immediate decisive action. You Kaizen your way to competency and excellence. And you aim for remarkability on a daily basis. And through that, we went from a corporate run organization to a franchise operation. From that, we went from knowing nothing about construction and building Everbowls to now building for everybody else. And that's all through that process. And so those core values allow us as a team to say, this is how we operate. So when we're attracting people to the organization, do you believe this? If you don't believe in our core values, you might be great at what you do, but you're not a cultural fit. So we don't put square pegs in round holes. I'm not looking for the best at the one thing. I'm looking for someone who fits our culture, Because if you fit our culture, you're going to become the best, whether you are today or you're not. You're going to have that aptitude. So that's the culture answer. You know, I think it's very important.
Love that.
Yeah. And the second part of your question, and sorry, I went so long. I want to make sure I love it
because, you know, I'm actually reflecting it. And before you answer the second part, I just want to share a quick story for a minute. It's like you mentioned, guys, just think about this, right? If you make a declaration, like I'm going to be doing speaking today, but right after this call, this is a podcast show, and I'm going to talk about making your declaration in the same way how our early founders, they made a declaration of independence, right? And I want you guys to think about when you make that declaration that you're going to be the one hard to beat, that you're going to be doing this, that I used to have a thing back in the day, I used to have on a shirt, like hashtag make it personal. I used to tell them my stories, Jeff, you know, which is a crazy story about where my father died when I was a baby, 3 months old in a car accident. Sorry. And my stepfather was murdered. So I had to sell bread when I was 7 years old to help my widow mom. And I was poor and I used to have these big dreams. I used to say, all these guys you guys see on the stage, you know, all these celebrities that you guys see me interviewing over the years that I became friends with, that I mentor. And I used to say that when I was poor, one day I will leave the hood and I will come back. And every one of my friends that died, that were murdered, my loved ones that were taken from me, I'm going to come back and we're going to show up to blow up. Because that's more to life than money and fame. It's like Jeff said, man. It's like when you show, are you around the people that you wanted to be with? Are they making your eyes lit up and they know that you are coming? And then when you make the declaration, my friend, I can just listen. I really hope that this is like Jeff and I are taking you to church right now. If you make the declaration and you see incredible stories, right, from Jeff and Kobe and myself and many of our friends, And I pray that you do that, because if you just tell yourself that I'm going to go for it, no, I don't care what they say. I won't listen to none of the BS and the haters, and then just keep it coming, baby. You want to see me fail? I will give you a show. And you make the declaration, and I promise you that is magic in its own that when you say, I'm not going to give up no matter what. I'm not going to give up, like, you know, when you are out there, like maybe you're a podcaster and you're looking for incredible guests and you reach out to people that you don't know. And what if they say no? You say next. Maybe it's not now, but you know, you never know. But the point is, go no matter what. You know, never give up because, you know, as I always say, man, the days that breaks us are truly the days that makes us. And now, Jeff, back to, I get fired up. You know, when I have great guests like you and bringing the memories and I see my boy Kobe in the back there, you know. But now, back to the part two of that question.
And about how to stay ahead and
of the curve and innovating and remaining competitive. And I love a shout out to our brother from another mother, Gary V. Jeb, bam, you know, for, you know, you guys are always taking to another level. Gary's always taking to another level. And so let's talk a little bit about that part of the innovation and in this competitive space, which is the fast food casual industry, which is, you know, you guys are dominating, educate, just dominate, boom.
Well, I want to give everyone a hack first, because I think it's the foundation, which is, are you constantly learning about your space, right? Are you looking at the people who have done it before you at the highest level? Are you, and you know, stealing ideas from competitors? You should do that. You should take what works from them and improve it and make it your own, right? And people do that in sports. You do that everywhere. Kobe Bryant watched Michael Jordan as a kid, copied his moves, and then made his own moves, right? Learned about his work ethic and his training and what he eats and how he worked out and all those things. It's true in business. So when I was starting in the restaurant space, I knew nothing about it. So what did I do? I started to study Chipotle. I started to study McDonald's. I started to study Starbucks. And the beauty is when public companies, they're public, which means they have quarterly calls where the CFOs, the CMOs, the CEOs, the presidents, the high-level employees get on a phone call, which you can listen to, and they talk about what challenges they're dealing with, how they're planning on solving them, and what they're doing for the next quarter or two quarters or three quarters. So when COVID happened, and I'm listening to Domino's talk about investing in technology and their mobile app and mobile ordering, and I'm listening to Chipotle say the same thing, and I'm listening to McDonald's say the same thing, well, okay, what do I think I need to do? I'm not their size. We improved our mobile app. We improved mobile ordering. We started to realize I don't need to be smarter than them. I need to learn from them. So the collective power of your industry, there's public companies in every industry. So take advantage, learn from them, and then figure out how you can apply those lessons to your own organization at your own size. And so I think that that's a little hack that I use. It's helped me kind of understand what they're thinking about and what they're seeing. because they have teams and teams of people and units all over. Same thing with construction or import and supply chain. Or, you know, now with my show, the Jeff Fenster Show with Entrepreneur, I study some of the best podcasters. And, you know, from the Joe Rogans, the Patrick Bidavids, the Carlos Siqueiros, all of you, right? I want to learn and I want to see what you guys are doing and how you're growing your show. And so I took what I liked. I took what I thought was valuable and I'm implementing it. When I launched my book, I wanted it to be a bestseller. So I started to look at my friends who had bestsellers. What did you guys do? How did you do it? And then I took, you know, I didn't create all of those. No, thank you. I didn't create all of those concepts. I emulated a lot of those and made some of them my own and tried to improve it where I can. And if you do that, it's going to help you stay competitive. But the latter part, and I think to the Gary Vee part, is you also need to amplify. And the way you amplify, you can spend money with ads. You can use influencers. You can attract world-class people that will help be part of your brand. And, you know, we've done a really good job as an organization of attracting incredible high-profile humans to join us, whether it's Drew Brees or Gary Vaynerchuk or Shaquille O'Neal with the Bills, you know, or Jason Tatum deal, you know, all the different fun, Kamaru Usman, you know, Sean Merriman. It's like, I'm more in the sports world with my background, so I know a lot of athletes, but point is, how do you attract them? Same thing with team members in our private equity group, Saruya Private Equity. You know, how do you attract them? Well, it goes back to high-profile, remarkably successful, high-intensity, A-list people aren't going to join a B team. They're just not. So if you're not living, going back to something you said a few minutes ago, if you're not showing the receipts that you are who you say you are and who you want to be, and it's not something that they look at and go, I want to be part of this team, you're never going to get there. So all the things we just talked about for the last 25 minutes is the foundation to then do this final piece, which then creates the explosive growth that people are seeing and saying, hey man, how is this all happening? It's because we have an incredible team of people that show up every day. We strive for remarkability. We're killing it in every direction, which way we can. We're staying ahead of the curve by studying and learning and opening doors and taking immediate action because we live this every day. When at Gary Vee, the opportunity, you know, me and him are talking and I'm on a stage and I'm speaking and we're chatting about what we can do. It's not a question of, well, who's Everbowl? Why would I, and who's Jeff? And do I want to associate with this brand? And that's all validated. Now it's a question of, does it fit? Is it a win-win? You know, with his VeeFriends community, and we just launched a collab, I don't know when this will air, but last week. And that collab was about VeeFriends and Everbowl and how you can now get access to VeeFriends and certain VeeFriend toys and get part of his NFT collection only exclusively at Everbowl locations around the country. He came to Everbowl. We did a meet and greet with customers and he's going to drive traffic there. We chose each other to do that because it benefited VeeFriends and his new initiative. It benefits Everbowl and all of our stores because it's driving new customers in. But Gary could have gone to any concept to do that. There's a reason he felt comfortable working with Everbowl and myself. And it's not because I had a good one line to tell him and I made some big promise. It's because of the history of who we are on a daily basis and how we adapt and pivot. So he didn't have that concern, just like I don't have that concern that Gary can't deliver on his side. And so the Kobes want to play with the Jordans, right? So you need to make yourself and your organization remarkable. And when you do that, the opportunities, when you meet the people that you want to bring in and help and amplify, they're going to want to participate. And so often you get the chance to meet them, but you're not ready for them and they don't say yes. And then forevermore, you're saying, man, if I only had, yes, Gary Vee could blow up lots of concepts. So can Michael Jordan and so can LeBron James and so can you name your person. The key is you need to be ready when that opportunity is there. And you do that by not having to get ready, but stay ready. And you stay ready by your daily habits.
Yes, man. Wow. Incredible. I just love hearing those stories, right? It's like innovating and goes back, right? Proximity, who do we surround ourselves with, the receipts, the miles, and it comes all along. That's just incredible. You know, I often talk about, Jeff, you know, people, when I speak at private masterminds and to like CEOs, and we talk about, you know, Starbucks, for example, right? You mentioned Starbucks. And I often ask people the question, what do you think is this Starbucks money-making product? And a lot of people like normally think it's the coffee. And they're like, no, it takes 30 to 90 days to train a barista to do a coffee. But guess what, guys? Here's the secret. Here's the secret sauce. How long do you think it takes to train somebody to bake a goddamn cookie? You know? So guess what? Their cookies is their money making. The profit margins are insane. So you see, like, it's like Jeff has been talking about it. We have really good hope. You guys need to really listen to this show over here. This should be like in Harvard, a class. You know, Jeff is literally giving you guys the layout As you guys know, I love extracting the knowledge from my guests so that you guys can look at it, feel inspired, empowered, and get to work, because hard work works. And you know, Jeffrey, as we're getting towards over here, the end of the show, you know, I'm looking ahead, you know, what is next, man? What is next for Everbowl? I mean, are there any market products, maybe some hints that you can give us, some innovations you are particularly excited about exploring the near future?
Well, I mean, Everbowl's growing. So we're opening, you know, a store every 6 days. We're coming to new markets all across the country. We're coming to the Northeast in Boston. We just opened in New Jersey. We just opened in Bettendorf, Iowa, and Rock Hill, South Carolina. So if you're in a market and you don't see an Everbowl anywhere and you're interested, hit us up, obviously, or hopefully one's coming soon and it just hasn't happened yet. But we want you part of our, if you're a high performer, right? We worry about people first. You know, there's the Marcus Lemonis, if you know who he is, you know, he's got this, he publicized the idea of people, process, and product as the three P's of business. And everyone has their own prioritization of those three. What is most important? For some companies, it's product. For some, it's process. For some, it's people. For me, it's people all day, every day. I want to be around the greatest people. You put great people together, great things happen. And we're continuously adding more great people to our sphere, always looking to do that from top down or bottom up. I don't care which way and which path. If you're someone who operates at that highest level and are looking to join a remarkable team, then we'd love to have you. But outside of that, I mean, really, I don't do 5 years in the future, right? You got to win the day. And so we organizationally keep winning the day. Yes, we're playing chess. Yes, we have this bigger vision, but we don't spend so much time dreaming about what we're going to do once we do all these other things. It's how do we win today? Let's go win the day. And if we win the day today and we keep winning, you know what? You look back and you go, look how far we've come. And maybe we don't do enough of that. You know, it takes someone like coming on a show and hearing you say these things, which makes me blush a little bit, because we don't spend enough time looking in the rear view, because that's not where we're going. You know, what we did yesterday is cool, but today's a new day. And I don't want my best day to ever be yesterday. And that fear keeps me driving every moment. You know, I don't want to be like, oh man, I remember that day. Like that, those days were the best. Like I want my best days to still be forward. And how do we continue to create? And so organizationally at Everbowl, we're trying to continue to innovate. We love ideas. We're not afraid to learn from our customers and from our fans and from our employees and from our coworkers and teammates. So if you have ideas for us, please share. I'll be the dumbest guy in the room every day. And we're going to keep trying to grow.
Wow. No, man, I love that big time. It's just, you know, let's just think about a lot of great stuff, man. You guys, literally, success live close, ladies and gentlemen. Now you guys know Jeff, you know, follow him on Instagram at Jeff Fenster at Fenster Jeff. You guys can go to everbowl.com. For you guys that are going to right below over here, the screen, everbowl.com. And you guys reach out, you know, fastest growing franchise. Man, I love what these guys are doing. I love their values. You guys know me. I'm big in faith, family, values, and beliefs. And these guys are just taken to another level. And I love it. It's an honor for me having people that have been on this show. They are taking things to another level. Shout out to my brother, Frank Shankwitz. He also died on the 24th of January. It's crazy how the number 24 is there, which is Brian Jersey. And he died on the 24th, 2 days before my birthday. And if you guys haven't read Frank's book or watched his movie, go check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Wishman, incredible human being, the founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation. Before he died, you know, he made the wish of 500,000 kids. 500,000 kids have the wish granted because that man showed up. The way how Jeff shows up, the way how I showed up, the way how we keep showing up them every day, no matter what, where we're going to keep putting the work, because hard work works. Yeah, we've done some cool things in the past, but it's not over yet, baby. We have so much more in the tank. My greatest fear is knowing that if I was going to die on an airplane when I travel to speak around the world, knowing that if there was anything left in the gas tank.
Yeah.
And Jeff is here today because I can sense that in him. All the great and the legendary folks that have been on the show before us, it's like it's none of us. It's the higher force that goes through us. It's to inspire you that are watching us. Maybe you are thinking about giving up and pull that plug, jump on that bridge. Don't do it yet. Reach out to me. Reach out to Jeff on social media. Do a comment in our post. Man, we are humans. We get back to you. You don't have no AI. They're going to get back to you. Just showing up, man. You have an idea. You know, go raise some money. Open up a franchise in your town. Jeff just gave you the clue. They're expanding. They're growing. They're making the competition irrelevant, as I like to call it, baby. And Jeff, before I let you go, I ask this question to every great human that's been on my show. And the question is, my friend, I know you are young. I think when you're in your 30s right now?
40.
All right. So you and I are in the same era, in the 40s. And ish, let's just say 80 years from now, you and I are 120.
Okay.
And we're all going to live longer. Thanks to Everbo, we can live even longer. Look at that.
That's right. I'm going to 200, Carlos.
Brother, you know, and the world needs more Jeffs. Real talk. And Jeff, now is your eulogy. All the legends are there. If I happen to be alive, you know, before you go, we're all going to be there listening to some AC/DC, your favorite songs. I don't make them Metallica, whatever that is. And we're going to be smoking cigars, drinking some whiskey. I love açaí. I grew up in Brazil in the Amazon. Açaí, mm-hmm. For my tribes. I'm a native from Brazil. Good shout out to the Inca tribes. And they're going to read your eulogy, my brother. And they're going to say, Jeff, a.k.a. serial entrepreneur, badass, found this amazing company in the last century. And during that time, he made incredible impact around the globe, saved so many lives. But in Jeff's, a.k.a. Fenster's own words, Jeff Fenster was ... Who was Jeff Fenster, brother?
Father, husband, and someone who left every ounce of everything he had in life out there.
There you guys have it, ladies and gentlemen. In case if you don't wake up tomorrow, you know the drill. I appreciate you, my friend. Such an honor to have you on the show. Congratulations again on all this success.
Thank you. Much
more to you, your family, your two beautiful kids, and all your friends and your staff. You know, shout out to our staff, to our employees. Without you guys, our partners, our friends, our influencer friends, and everyone in our lives, you guys watching us, the viewers, by ourselves, we can only do so much. Together, we can move mountains. Share the show. Follow up Jeff. Reach out to him and his company if you guys want to open up a franchise in your town. And share this. Thank somebody here today that might be struggling their business or their life. And as my grandma always used to tell me, as I always like to close the show with my two favorite quotes, life is all about the mission, never the commission. And whenever you feel like giving up and you're stressed, and a COVID comes and you have $5 million of money, that you're like, God damn, what am I going to do now? What am I going to say to these people? Because you know it. If you go into something struggling, and if you're depressed, full of anxiety, you know the drill. The days that breaks us are truly the days that makes us. Let's freaking go. God bless you, brother. I'll see you guys.
Thank you.